Now in chapter 5, not only man can keep the law, we find that man actually falls into sin.
In chapter 5, dans le procureur, vous montrez que à ce que le pasteur Moïnes a fait à l'église.
So, I think it's quite clear, we are told that there are two aspects of sin.
À part tout le monde, et puis tout le a pas voté tout.
There are two types of sin.
Okay?
One is self-committed sin, meaning men break the commandments of God.
The second type
of sin is when man was born into this world, he is born into sin. I still remember we used this to talk about the issues of
infant baptism.
Let's look at verse 12 again. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of sin.
Echo fidia urubembulu ayingirire mu mundu mopanwe sonde nemfwa ya ingirire mu rubembu efyo nemfwa ya yambukire ku bantu bonse bali bembuike.
Sin came into this world through one man.
Urubembulu ayishire panwe sonde kupitira mu mundu.
As a result, all died.
Kamuna nduwa ichi bonse bali kuire.
That's why Paul said death spread to all men. As long as we come from this line and this lineage of Adam, we were all born into
sin.
We also say that what the wages of sin is death.
You
know? So that's why when we are baptized, we find that baptism removed our self-committed sins and also the sins that we inherited. We know that, as we have studied before, law gives us the knowledge of sin. We know that from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, it seems that the law of God has not been concretely reviewed. Put it this way, the law of God has not been written down yet. You know, in the time of Moses, the Ten Commandments were clearly printed by the fingers of God. Although the law has not been clearly reviewed, it's like many people, in those days did not know about sin. But Paul says, however, death ran from Adam to Moses. Even though the people might not sin in accordance to the way Adam did. So it's going to show that the sin actually, what? This death passed down from one generation to another. Now, I want you to pay attention to chapter 5, verse 14, the last part. Okay, it says Adam, who is a type of him who was to come.
Adam, who is a type of him who was to come.
So, I think here it gave us the idea that God knew beforehand that man was sin.
Right?
That's why Christ was prepared.
ebrandune yesu kristu alikwata okupekanishiwa
cry was prepared to save humanity
alipekanishiwa nokutilokoba ti ese akususe mutundu wa muntu
nsiatuberenge
ibuku yabe na efeso chapter
1ephesians
chapter 1
verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in
love. Kuti tuve abamuchiro kabiri abavula akalema kuchinzo chakwe.
Quite clearly here, the chosen not only is the sovereign choice of God, meaning only God knows whom he will choose.
Atulesa ari shiva abo engasara abasawa.
In fact, this chosen is like, you know, has been known right before the foundation was of the world. So you find that the coming of Christ is like the center, is the center of God's redemption. And it's also through Christ, yet the plan of God has come to pass. So God knew long before that Adam was
sinned.
Now we look at Romans 5 again.
Roma chapter 5 to verse 21.
Verse 15 to verse 21.
Roma chapter 5 verse 15 to 21.
Romans chapter 5, verse 15-21. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many.
Vantu china kuinyinga chafuire kukuruka kwa mungu umo kusenamina kwa kwalesa nechakupecha mukusenamina kwa mungu umo yesu kristu chafuirako kuchiramo wakakaramba kuchina
from 15 onwards here Paul is making a comparison between what the sin of Adam and its harmful effect on humanity with what the goodness of Christ that he would bring to those who would believe in him.
Paulo alesha kupashanya uafya uwo ulube mluwa alentele Adamu kukuru walinga chita pa mundu nse na usuma ukaramba uwa kuisa kwa kwa Yesu Christu.
So by one man's offense many died.
Chitwesanga chukutira mundu umo abandu wawe indivari fuire.
And in contrast, we find that what happened by one man's grace, many were
saved.
So, you know, if you look through this passage, it's making comparison. For example, in verse 17, here it talks about one man's offense, that ran through the one. Now, if you look at verse 17 here, the second part, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through one, Jesus Christ. Meaning, Jesus imparts or gives grace to those who believe. You find that there are actually two groups of people in
the
world. One belongs to God. The other one belongs to sin. Initially, when God first created man, he created man to be good.
abumbire omuntu kuba omusuma.
And because of one man's offense,
omulandu waluwembu lwa muntu umo,
we find that he brought judgment to all men.
Mulesanga atilesa alete obupingushi ku bantu bonse.
And likewise, because of one man's righteous act,
munkitabo mwine kamisirefeeri ya muntu umo,
so the free gift come of God that comes to all men.
Ekyo ekyakupe kyakwalesa kyaisirefeeri akabiri ku bantu bonse.
Therefore, those who believe in Jesus will receive justification.
Ekyo abo abasumi namuli Yesu Kristu bakakokerera okusangululwa.
So this is practically what Paul is saying.
Ifefereranda Paulo fimofi nga kitwa.
He is re-emphasizing the need and the absolute necessity for us to count on Jesus for justification.
Aleko nkomesha bwino bwino kintu kikalamba ekyo tukule twayisa kuli Yesu kuba tuwakwata okusangululwa.
Meaning, without going to Christ,
kyebiriwe okutiira okwabulaifu okwipalamika kuli Yesu,
without following the ways of Christ,
kwabulaifu okukonka ekida kyakwa Yesu,
none can be saved.
Tapali omuntu nange omu owinga kusuka.
Alright, now I want to read verse 19.
Efatubelenge 5 verse 19.
For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous.
Bantu ife buchinto mfa wa muntu umu walengere abachina wingi babe ababembu efyo nechumfuira chao mochikalenga abachina wingi ukuba abalungu kama.
I think here it tells us something very essential. Men disobedient leads to a tragic consequence. But men's obedience here obviously is the obedience of Christ. Has caused many to become righteous. Again, the emphasis of Christ must go through Christ to be righteous. By one man, sin ran in death. So by one man, grace might reign through righteousness. So meaning you need to go through Christ to receive God's grace.
By
what we have said before, how do we receive this grace of God? How do we receive this grace? If I don't ask you a question, you fall asleep. So how can a person receive the grace of God? Yes, I know. Where is it?
Where is it written?
Okay, we read that. Yeah? Romans chapter 3. 21? 24. Okay, you want to explain? Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So his grace, the what? The receiving or the justification of his faith of grace is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, isn't it? How does that redemption come about? How? What is the condition here? When you are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, there is redemption, is it?
Yes.
By his blood, for the forgiveness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next question is, how can one be in Christ Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
How? How? When you are
baptized.
You see the link now?
Yes.
Okay. Alright, now so this is chapter 5. The emphasis is on what? One man has sinned, and therefore he has destroyed the entire humanity, and now Christ has come only to him that many shall receive his grace. Is that so?
Remona muntu mo aona ola isonde pamuna ndo kuimbuka kwakwe. Nomba Yesu Kristu aisa yo alalenga futi isonde kuti muri wene ukuposhishwa.
Okay. If not that, then we move on to chapter 6.
Romans chapter 6.
Okay, now, after you have received grace, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because by Christ, yeah, grace abounds to many. So does it mean that we should continue in sin so that we may receive more grace? This is where we differ from many other churches. Because it's like, you know, some said, once you are saved forever. Is that also? Some people said, yeah, once you are saved forever. Now, what does Paul say? What did Paul say here? No. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? When is a person dead to sin? When? When he is baptized in it. He is dead to sin. So when he rises up from the water, the Bible says he is given a new lease of life. So if he has been given a new lease of life, can he remain in sin and continue in sin? Certainly not. You understand what I'm saying? So the idea of what? Once you are saved forever, actually is not accurate.
I want you to read
1 Corinthians chapter
15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Okay. Now, we read from verse 1 to verse 2. Verse 1 to verse 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Here Paul is talking about the gospel that he preached to the members in Corinth.
Paulo elanda pambila ntumayo ashimikire kuliba membala mchilongano cha Korinto.
If by this gospel that you know they received, and now what happened? And by the gospel, in this gospel, there's two. Now verse 2 is important. By which also you are saved. We saved by the gospel, yeah? Now after you have been saved, what must you do? Paul says, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in me. Meaning you must follow the instruction of the gospel. The instruction of the gospel is that you cannot live in sin again. So if you choose to live in sin, then obviously you believe it in vain. So actually, this one contradicts the idea that once a person is saved, he is saved forever.
Right?
Now, is that okay? Is that clear? Okay, now we come back to chapter 6.
Tubwelele kube na Roma chapter number 6.
Romans chapter 6.
Romans chapter number 6.
Now here from verse 3 onward, Paul explained the idea how we have died to sin.
We said that
we die in sin, or we die to sin.
How did we die to
sin? Or when do we die to sin? It happens in baptism. Now we look at verse
3.
So when we are baptized, we are baptized into Jesus Christ.
We're
baptized into his death.
So,
when we are baptized, that's why we said baptism is not a ritual. Baptized into his death. Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life.
Eicho twashikirwe pamona nkwe mulubatisho mumfa yakwe ukuti ifyo Kristu avushiwe mubafwa kubafwa kuba kubukata wakwa wishi ifyo fine na ifwe twende mumusango upya wa moyo.
Okay, now we were buried with him through baptism.
Ati twashikirwe nankwe okupitirwa mukubatishwa na mukwebishwa.
Here it talks about burial. Burial.
Ati akafirela ndafa kushikwa.
When we are baptized,
eliyo twabatishwe.
We enter into his death.
Twa ine mumpa yakwe.
We buried together with him.
Ati twashikirwe nankwe pamunhu.
And then we raised together in his what? Resurrection.
Ati kaili twabushiwe nankwe mukubushwa kwakwe.
This is the significance of baptism. Basically, baptism is a process by which the sinful nature or the sin in us are destroyed.
Ati chintu fechimo ichikwata ukona ula uria umubela walwembu.
Now we look. It's a burial, yeah? You remember, I think I gave you, another verse, yeah? Which talks about baptism is a form of burial.
Ati, naim cha wino, na admi pere po vesi mwere la nda pa, palu batisho.
Where?
Colossians 2:12.
Oh, very good. Colossians 2:12. You start memorizing, yeah? Verses. Okay. Colossians chapter 2.
Avena Colossae 2.
We read verse 12.
Tuleverenga muka no tuofu.
Colossians 2 verse 12.
Avena Colossae chapter 2. Kuverenga pa ikumidimona tuvili.
Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God to raise him from the dead.
Again
here it says baptism, buried with him in baptism.
It's a
burial. That's why we believe that baptism must be done in a fully immersed manner.
Now,
so when we rise up from the water, we are given a new lease of life. But before we can do that, in verse 5 it says we must first become united together in the likeness of his death. That's
what
we said, when we get baptized, we need to bow our head. How did Jesus die?
busha Yesu wafuile shani.
According to John chapter 19.
Okulingana na Yohani chapter 19.
The Bible says that he, while bowing down his head, he gave up the spirit.
Acheryo arekontamika ichinzo chakwe omuto wakwe awe arekereko mweo wakwe.
That is a voluntary gesture.
Achipye chachiken.
So while bowing down his head, edyo, he gave up his spirit.
Edyo nombare kontamiko omuto wakwe awe umuko wakwe nangumwe pashu wakwe walifuma.
Like what John said, no one can kill Jesus actually. In fact, Jesus laid down his life willingly for us.
Chitapari umuntu ingepa Yesu Kristu. Yesu Kristu atemenuwe pie papabati engarika umweo wakwe.
Where can you find that quotation?
He
willingly laid down his life for us. Because he has the power to take it back unto himself. John, yes, chapter 10. Yeah?
John
10:18.
John 10:18.
No one takes it from me, but I lay it down to myself. A power to lay it down, and a power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father.
Achitakuri umuntu uinga fumia pwechi ntupari ine, icho ine na hivika fina hivika pofie nemu ine, na ayama ka ya kugwese shapo na kavili,
Now here Jesus said, he has the power to take it up again. But when you read the Romans, who raised Jesus from the dead? It's the Holy Spirit, right?
Holy Spirit.
So when Jesus said he has the power to take it back unto himself, actually, this statement confirmed that he is the Holy Spirit himself. You get what I'm saying now? Can you see the connection now?
Yes.
Okay, now we turn back to chapter 6. Verse 6. You know what? Someone once said to me, if you want to follow the likeness of Christ's death, why don't you stretch out your hand in baptism as well? Because that is part of the likeness of his death, something that you see on the cross. Why don't you do that? Why do you only talk about bowing down your head? Some say that we are being a bit too legalistic, too stringent to follow the...
Okay. Ati imwe mufuwa ya fie kwa ati ukuba ukukonka fie ito fine.
Okay. Now, how will you answer it?
Kwe na kutu tuwa yafika shani?
Verse 5. Okay, can you explain?
Kiputu mwarondoro lapo?
Ya kurondoro lapo ni ngarondoro lapo. Kwa hivyo yari la ndakoni fukutu ndati.
What I can say is just because the Bible has told us that. We have to die in the likeness of his death. Also in his resurrection, in our resurrection, it will be like his death. How did Jesus die in order for us to be likened to his death? He bowed his head.
But when he was on the cross, was
Yes, he did.
Why don't you do that?
That's the way he was crucified.
Yes.
But it's not the way he died.
But you said earlier that he is the one who has the power to live or die, right? And if he does not want to die, even stretching out will not die. So it was because when he said it's done, he breathed last, he died. So that was the form that he actually died, not because of stretching of hand.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because you did call that John 10, verse 18, he was the one who has the power to take life and give life. And even stretching hand will not be able to take life. Mm-hmm. It was because he said so and bowed head. So stretching hand is not a form of dying, united in God. It's really the bowing head when it's done and you die. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Okay. Now, I normally use verse 6 to explain it. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. That the body of sin might be done away with. And we should no longer be slaves. So crucifixion in itself represents what? Baptism.
But
what Paul emphasizes is the bowing of head, the likeness. You know, the hand and the feet were crucified, were nailed on the cross. But the only what likeness that we can see, a voluntary gesture, is the bowing of the
head.
You get what I'm saying? So Christ, what? While bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. That is how he died. While bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. If he has chosen not to bow his head and not to die, he will not die. Why did he bow his head first and then he gave up the spirit? Actually, to tell us how we should, you know, the gesture that is required for us to die to sin in baptism. It's voluntary.
Kui perisha. Kui perisha.
Okay. Now, verse 7.
Verse 7.
Chapter 6, verse 7. Yeah.
Chapter 6, verse 7.
For he who has died has been freed from sin. So if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Can you see the connection here? How we can be transferred from death into life? This is a spiritual reality which is accomplished by the work of the Spirit. Yeah? So if we die with Christ, meaning your way of dying, yeah, the baptism must be correct. Otherwise, how can you be dead with Christ? Christ did it this way.
Yes, watch directly.
And you do it this way.
Hey, you are
not
dying.
Because in the first place, you have not even entered into his death. That's why if we die with Christ, you know, the Bible says the first fruit of resurrection, isn't it?
First resurrection, and
through Christ we also become the first fruit. That's why when we die, when we get baptized, we need to what? Follow that likeness of his death.
Ati eriyo twabatishwa tulingire twayamba kukonka nomba itamfulo sha shampa yakwe.
Is okay?
Ushe.
Alright, now we move on. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him.
Ati nomba Yesu Christ, nomba ifwe twafwana Yesu Kristu, ino kusumino kwebati awe tukava na nkweno lube mbuta nkweke ama kapali ifwe.
Here it says, after someone has died with Christ, that meaning have been baptized accurately, then death no longer has dominion over him.
Ati abalamu na tisho kwa ati, elio muntu awe chwamuri Yesu Kristu, no kushwamuri Yesu ati fira fionso lube mbulonze takwete ama ka ketiruteke pa muntu ujonze.
Because he has already died to sin. Therefore, when he rises up from the water, he lived to Christ. Now, I want to look at verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Muchine chine mwalifuile kulubembu lelo mwaba aba mweo muli Yesu Kristu mfumu Yesu.
Now, so you know, after we have accepted Christ, have been baptized,
Atelio twasumine muli Yesu Kristu nokubatishwa,
we must recognize the fact that we have indeed died to sin.
Ati tulinge twakushokwe bachine chine twalikwata okufa kulubembu.
But now we are alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Ati nomba twadiba abamweo kupitila muji Kristu.
So you know, again, this idea is what is a very clear idea which has been badly put this way, misunderstood by many Christians.
Ati apa kutu amano kwa tumla ni kuti abantu bambye na wabakirishi tu wabengi bali wabalafiruwa ukufumbikisha.
We should no longer live in sin, we should only live in Christ.
Ati tatulingile tuwe ikala munu vembu, tulingile tuwe ikala muli Kristu.
How can we live in Christ Jesus?
Ushe kutuwe ikala shani muli Yesu Kristu.
I tell you, when we come to chapter 8, then we will explain a bit more.
Ati na kiyo kwa tinga tuwaisa chapter 8, tuwalalo ndoro la
Now, from verse 12 to verse 14,
Ati kufumam des 12 ukushin tamu 14,
this is the idea of being under grace and not under the law.
Ati ngapa chintu itwe chilela nga ukuba muchichet ukuba muchikuku ukukana ba mumalango.
Paul makes it very clear. After we have died to sin, and we have died with Christ, sin has no dominion
over
us. So, because of that, we must not present our members as instrument of our righteousness, meaning we must not sin.
Ati apa nomba tuingire twa ifirundwa Yesu ukukana bembuka icho chepro kwa tatulingi twa ikala mulu bembu.
Instead we should become a slave to righteousness.
Ati icho nomba tuingire twa abasha babulungami.
Simply it means we must what? Follow the righteous instruction of the Lord.
Ati nomba tuingire twa konka ubulungami bwa makambisho ya kwaleza.
Because after we have died to sin, we are given this capacity to live in Christ, to live for God. Now, verse 14 is important.
Sin shall not have
dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. This is the idea.
Ati nomba ulube mbuta lwa kwate bukateka pali imwe bantu imwe tamundi wena marango lelo.
When someone asks you,
eno mundu ne mtu aipusha.
Again, we find that this idea is badly misunderstood within the Christianity.
Ati apana potasa kwa kwate abantu wale ngitabafi mfuiki shabu ino buino mugu kilishi tu.
So when you said you are under grace,
what
does it mean? Sin has no dominion
over you.
You live no longer in sin. This is being under grace.
Not
like some people said, oh, because I have received Jesus, no problem, I have His grace. you know, I can continue to sin. It's like believing in Jesus, yeah, has become a license or has become a reason for him to sin more.
Ajawe no mba ine nari potes Christu ni muri Christu no urube muno problem tu ati chochava se kwati nari mo tapadi.
So grace is not a license to sin.
Ati ichikuku unomba te passport nangu te chintu chimwe chia kwe ba tromba muri gire mule bembuka awe.
Because Paul said it very clearly here, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are under
grace.
So for someone to say that it is okay for me to sin because I'm in the grace of God is completely wrong. Let's see what Paul says here. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. We cannot sin. Just because we are under grace now, we cannot sin willfully, we cannot sin against God. Okay? Now, this the first point here. The second point is, you know, for us who are within the true Jesus Church, we have this concept that, you know, oh, because we have been baptized correctly and therefore we are under grace all the time. To be under the law means you have transgressed against the law, you shall be judged by the law. That's the meaning.
I
want to read the Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, which we talk about this morning.
Galatia chapter 5.
We read the verse 18.
To alaverenga verse 18.
Galatians 5:18.
Galatians 5 verse 18.
But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Atinga chakweba ti mutungulu luano mupashi imwe tamudive na malango.
Okay, now today within the community of faith, within the church.
Ati munchita shino muchilonga ni no muine.
So if we are not led by the Spirit, can we say we are under grace?
No,
we are under the law. So, you know, we have this misconception of, oh, I've been baptized in true Jesus Church, no problem, I'm under
grace.
In fact, many of us are under the law. Why? Because we are not led by the Spirit. How do we know that a person, or a Christian, or a TJC believer, is not led by the Spirit? When you read from verse 19 onwards, it talks about the works of the flesh. Now, there are so many works of the flesh here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Lewdness, verse 19, the last one.
Verse 19. Lelo imirimo ya mubiri ili pambiri ni ubulalelale ukukowela.
Verse 19, the last
one. Okay. Mukai? Ukupatrula? Okay.
This is the last one. Okay, now, and here it's talk about what? Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, bribery, and the like. Okay, so many things are mentioned.
I keep thinking if you don't win way.
That's why just this morning I asked. We may not commit adultery. What about outbursts of anger? What about hatred? What about being contentious? What about being jealous of others? All these are the work of the flesh. If we allow this work of the flesh to dominate our lives, very likely we are no longer under grace, but we are under the law. So how many of us are under grace? Not many. If you look at it this way, it's quite clear there's not many of us. Is that not true? We always said, oh, we are under grace, under grace. We use the Old Testament scriptures to say that, oh, this is the period of the law, and New Testament time is the period of the grace.
Now,
did the Old Testament saints receive the grace of God? They did. Is it also? That's why example of Abraham, David were used in Romans. Being under the law and being under grace based on the division of the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Actually,
it's not true. In reality, although Jesus Christ has come, do you not agree with me that most Christians are still under the law? Because they are not led by the Spirit. How can someone who is not led by the Spirit still claim that he is under grace? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it clear now?
It is.
Okay, now we come back, yeah? Romans chapter 6, yeah? Okay, now we look at verse 17. But God is saying that though you were slave of sin, yet you obey from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered.
Ati lelo tuatotela kuditata na anguda muari abave muari abashia kulubembu ilelo mwachetekela mumitima yenu muli ya ikambisho ya kale idio mwakwete ukulubulu wako.
Now how were you set free from that?
Imwe mwarubwire shani
set free from being the slave of sin.
Ati mwarubwire shani ukufuma kulubembu.
When you obey from the heart that form of doctrine. So doctrine has a form. We mentioned that before, right? Doctrine has a form. We need to read the verse 17. Chapters Romans 6, 17. This one.
Awelesa atotelwe pakuti mwari abasha paluvembu lelo mwau mwari umfuile kumutima umusango wesambilisho. 17.
The form.
Is
it also? So it has been given, so we are set free from that. So we follow that form of
doctrine.
Since we are talking about this form,
because
most of you come from other churches, by the grace of God, now you have come to the truth. After you have been converted to true Jesus Christ, you need to pray as well. Read the Bible
yourself.
But there is a very important principle to abide by. Titus chapter 1 verse 1.
Tito chapter 1 verse 1.
Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness.
Paulo umusha wa kwalesa, kaviri umutumwa wa kwa Yesu Kristu.
I want to ask you a question. Did Paul share the same faith with the believers? That's why he said, it's the faith. Yeah, it's according to what? He's according to the faith of God's elect. His faith is similar to those who have been chosen by God, isn't
it?
Now, if you come to the church today, and if, let's say you are baptized, okay? Whatever you believe in, you cannot go against the community of faith at large. You know, Paul was such a powerful worker, and yet here he declared that his faith is according to God's elect. It's according to the faith of God's elect. Now I want you to read verse
4.
To Titus, a true son in our common faith. Paul says, common faith. If you preach something or you come up with a teaching from the scriptures, then you need to ask, is my teaching here resemble the one of the common faith? Does it go against the common faith? If it go against, it means your faith is not the same. Your belief, your truth, your understanding of the scriptures is not the same. We need to understand this very well. Yeah? Now, we are here to build up the body of Christ. Only with a common faith, then we can build up the body of Christ. Even Paul, he said, to Titus, a true son in our common faith. That's why in the true Jesus Church, the workers of God, whenever they talk about the work, they are not there to show off, you know, to tell people how much they know. They are not there to what? To strike a difference between their own teaching and the others, or other workers within the TJC. You get what I'm saying? They are here to build up this common faith. To strengthen the faith, to enhance the faith. This is very important. You know, all of you here come from different churches. That's why this idea must be very clear in your mind. Now, turn to Second Peter chapter one, verse one. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ.
Petelo umutumwa wakwa Yesu Kristu kuva leveshi bamuva salangana.
Okay, to those who have, listen very carefully, read very carefully, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Or to receive faith of the same value. Meaning your faith must be the same as mine. The value of your faith must be similar to mine. For example, if I believe that baptism saves, you cannot say baptism does not save. Can you see the difference? We are not sharing the same value. And we believe that the receiving of the Holy Spirit is evident by tongue speaking. And you said no. It means that our faith is not of the same value. That's why Peter made it very clear. That, you know, when you come into the community of faith, you have to make sure that the value of your faith is the same as the community of faith. You cannot come in here and then you start, making up your own beliefs. You hear what I'm saying? Very important. So, if you have a teaching, we know that the church is governed by the Holy Spirit. When this teaching is preached, if this teaching is true, God will move people to accept it. Even if people do not accept, or your co-workers do not accept, then there's no need for you to fight for it. You do your best to explain it, then the rest will leave it to the Spirit to work. Okay, I want you to read chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Now, we read verse 15. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you.
Atilelo, shisheni Kristu ngashikulu mumitima yenu, muve avate kanya faku sosa. Kaviri, Tungeni ukutekanya kwa shikulu ifwe ukuti di pusukilo ifyo na bamunyine fwe umwa uwate mwikwa Paulo amulembele umwabela amano ya pelwe kuli wene efyo.
Okay, you find that God moved Peter to what? To support the teachings of Paul.
At no papa twamona Peter aleisa muku suminisha amalembo ya kwapo.
That's why in the true Jesus Church, yeah?
When
we talk about the word, we must know exactly what we are talking about. So whatever we speak about must be of the same value as others, meaning members within the community of
faith.
And in the true Jesus Church, we do not need to invent new things. In the true Jesus Church, your old belief must be purged, must be removed. So that you can start anew. So that you remove all the leavens within you. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay, now we turn back to Romans. Romans, chapter 6. Now, after we have been set free from sin, so the natural result is that we should become slave of righteousness. But if we present our members, that is our body, to sin, then what happened? We shall become what? Slave of what? Unrighteousness. So we should what? Present our members as slave of righteousness for holiness. Now, read verse 20. When you were slave of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness, meaning you do not know about righteousness.
Bantu edyo mwali abashya kulubembu kubulungami mwali abantungwa. So echo edyo ifotwali abashya kulubembu tatwai shibe chiri chonse.
Since we have been set free from sin,
no mbaba unakwa titwali kusushua.
Therefore what? We become slave of God.
Tuwala no mbabasha wakwalesa.
And we must bear fruit unto eternal life.
At number three, let's read what it says. If you have to have more, we are here.
That's why you know. After you believe in Jesus, and you really do good works. This morning we spent quite a bit of time to talk about good works.
That when you are in Christ, you are in Him. When you are in Christ, you are in Him. You are in Christ. You are in Him. You are in Christ.
Good is the nature of God. The word good represents the nature of God. So your work must represent or must reflect the good nature of God. Not just outwardly, even your motive, your intention must be of what? Of good nature. Now we turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, we look at verse 10. Now, actually, verse 8 talks about we have been saved by grace.
Now, verse 10.
But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Bantu, tuli chibumbwa chakwalesa abalengerwe kuri Kristu Yesu kukubombela imilimo isuma iyonesa ape apekanishishe divela ukuthi emotwende.
We have been recreated in Christ.
Kwaba abakubishwa
ngayesu. Because the sinner within, yeah, sin has been destroyed in baptism.
Bantu ulubembu lwalikwatoko naika kutila mulu batisho.
And then what happened? God gave us a new lease of life.
Eso nomba yesu lesa tupela mwewa upia.
That's why we should what? Walk in good works.
Mwendu ine turinde turenda mwili mwesha suma.
So must do things which are good, yeah?
Turinde
turinde reflect the nature of God.
Ma ifile kwacha ukulondolola umubela wako alesa.
We turn to Titus.
Tuye kukuli hako wa Tito. Tito chapter 2.
We read verse 14.
We didn't get verse 14.
Titus chapter 2 verse 14.
Tito chapter 2 verse 14.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
Uwa ipele padi ifwe ukuti atulu ubule kulu kubukulu mushibonse. No kuisangulula abantu bakwe bene abachinchilile imilimo isuma.
Okay, now so we find that if we do not continue in righteousness,
ngachakwebati tatukonkenyepo mubulungami,
we find that what happened, we are not qualified for doing good
works.
There is a verse which says that we can turn to, where is it? Titus chapter 1.
Tito chapter 1.
You read verse 16.
Takubelenga past 16.
Titus chapter 1 verse 16.
Tito chapter 1 verse 16.
They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work.
Vasosa abati kwaishibalesa lero kumilimo yabo vamukana bakuba abamuselu kabili bachintomfwa kabili isi nangwa kuli umulimo onse usuma.
You know, some people that profess to know God,
abantu amo balando kwa bali bali shibalesa,
but in work they deny Him.
Lelo mumilimo bali mukana.
These people are not qualified.
Ati abantu mkwa ita bali abadi.
That's why the true Jesus Church, we don't simply choose for God.
Mulani ni na mtu Jesus Church ita tusala fia chikwe na imuni mwaba shuma pepo.
Very serious. We have to make sure that the workers are sincere, genuine, truthful to the word of God and to the Lord.
To make no quibata, Baba Ntuvadi Baba Chishinka Sana, Kumuni Mwakwari Sana Kuchewa Chakwa.
Otherwise, yeah, they disqualify themselves from serving.
Atipantu ave ne kutibaisa ifumia kofie kwebatia awenshirimi.
That's why we are not like other Christians.
Emrandwi tatuwa mange fironga
tino fanda. The pastor can do anything to remain as pastors.
Ati kwaisha o kapumba kujanketia uwe nwele kitonse. Ake vake kofi.
In the true Jesus Church, we take a pastor, sin against God, mortally, he will be removed. Right? So this is the difference, right? Okay. Now we come back to Romans.
Where did it go, Roma?
Chapter 6, eh?
Chapter 6.
Okay, now we look at verse 23.
We number 23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Ati ichilambu chalube mbu ni mfuwa lelo ichambu pecha kwa resa mweo wa muya yaya ukupitila mudi Yesu shukuruwe fwem.
So, you know, if we allow sins to creep back into our life after conversion,
ngachakwa ati tuasmisho lube mbu lule kwa tatofishimbuluka mitima yesu mano yesu ejo twa pidibuka
we are in danger of losing our salvation
ati fwe kwena tudi muchiteyo chako ati kutwa kwato kulusa
we must not think that sin can only destroy those who do not believe in Jesus
ati kutu tulata ndonga nyati ulube mbukutirwa ona ula feba di abantu wa shasuna
or those who have not been baptized in the true Jesus
na wabo abasha batishuwa muchilonga na ucha true Jesus
you find that once we sin against God in the true Jesus church
tuwa sango kwa tira tuwa mbukila lesa muchilonga ni nwechi
we find that the sin can have a firmer grip on us
ati kutuwa mwa kwati ulube mburi kwati rwanu tukambatila
to a point that we cannot return
ati kuri cyo cyakabatina mu kuto afirwa no kubwela
that's why you know after we have been baptized we need to keep ourselves what
ati so ero to abachishwa twingire to ababa kuisunga aba mushilo nango abantu ngama
so this chapter 6
if we
no questions
just so
Nothing.
Abbe Cosenzi, on the form of doctrine, having looked at, as we have been reading, it clearly indicates that the doctrine also matters.
The doctrine matters?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
If one follows the wrong doctrine, that is completely different from the apostolic doctrine, then we must be building on the wrong foundation. An observation on the form of doctrine. I was saying doctrine also matters.
But it can be shown again because
it's clear that those who believed in a form of doctrine.
And both Peter and Paul
are saying even to the church, the letters we are going, like Peter says, to those who have the faith of the same value. So if we have a different doctrine which is different from theirs, then we are completely not part of the church of which they believe.
Achinga chakawati ifoto kwete isambirishwedi akusana ko kulio ba kwete au kwena nishita tulipa mwe neka itulipia patadina vena.
Okay, I think that is a very good point raised there.
Ati yo chikankara sana.
When we talk about the form of the doctrine,
ero twalanda pesi kambisho ija kambishwa.
Obviously, it does not refer to any form of doctrine.
Ati tafine ya kuchintu chidia cha kambishwa.
It has to be the apostolic form of doctrine.
Ati chukire chava ni chidia imi ifyo awasambiva kwete ukushimikila.
Why do we pay so much attention to the teachings of the apostles?
Kushemula ndunshi tukwata ukula ndrasa na pefundisho yaba tumwa.
I want you to first read Acts chapter 2.
Tuvele nge imirimo yaba tumwa chapter 2.
Acts of the Apostles chapter 2.
Imirimo yaba tumwa chapter 2.
We read verse 42.
Tuvele nge mudes 42.
And they continue steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Here it says that after the conversion of the 3,000, they continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine.
Ati apato asango kweva chifanu mayaba ya abantu abadi umwa imyanda itatu. Aba pidibuite ababantu bako mkenyepo ukushimikila ikambisho yaba tumua.
Oh, we said according to the apostolic teachings.
Ukulingana na ikambisho yabu tumikishi.
It's like, you know, at that point in time, in the early church, whatever the apostle said is like final.
Atichari mudi chile chile wanchanta nshi echo abatumwa balanda chari kwati echa akulekelesha chila chine.
Obviously there are reasons for that to occur.
Ati pari kwena
Prophetically speaking, when you look at the second temple, the second temple was built on its original site, original foundation. Telling us that our foundation of truth must be the same as that of the apostles. Secondly, you find that there are things that Christ mentioned while he was on earth can only be fully understood after the apostle has explained it or has practiced it. For example, in the gospel, it does not mention that when a person is baptized, he must bow his head. But we can only make reference to Christ's crucifixion on the cross. Who taught us that idea? The apostles. You understand what I'm saying? So everything becomes very clear after what? After the apostle have explained them. That's why we said we must follow the apostolic teaching. You remember the verse we read in 1 John? We turn to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. We read verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. We refers to the apostle.
Ati tuliba kwa lesa ati ifwe chileso ntelela kuba ina kuba tumwa.
Okay, I try to rephrase it. The apostle are of God.
Apa balendo kwa ati aba tumwa ba kwa lesa.
He who knows God hears the apostle.
Ati uyo wa ishiba lesa alomfanefyo aba tumwa balenda.
He who is not of God does not hear the apostle.
Ati uyo ushiri wa kwa lesa domfwa ila.
By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Is that okay? Yeah? So whatever you preach, cannot go against the apostle. Is that right? You know some people say that. I better listen to Jesus. Not the apostle. Because Jesus is the master. Apostle only followers. I once talked to a guy. I told him about baptism in the name of Jesus. He said no. Because Jesus said we should baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, why should I listen to the apostle? Jesus is the master. I should listen to the master. Confusion, isn't it? How do you explain that?
Within the Gospel of Luke.
Luke 10.
We read verse 16.
Let's see number 16.
Luke chapter 10 verse 16.
Luke 10 verse 16.
He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me.
Uyo onse uwa umfuila imwe nisha umfuila ine. Uwa kana imwe nisha kana ine. Noyo onse uwa kana ine nisha kana noyo wantuma.
He who hears you. Jesus was talking to the disciples.
Yesu walela nda kuba sambi kwe bati uyo uwa kana imwe.
He who hears the disciple hears me.
Aji uwa umfuila abasambi nisha umfuila na imene Yesu.
Now, if you can look at it in this way, meaning Jesus endorses the teachings of the apostle, making it equal to his teaching.
Ati ikambisho lya kwa Yesu ne lya batumwa lili moline.
Or we can see that the apostle was given the power and wisdom to explain the teaching of Christ.
Ati abasambi bali pelwe nango abatumwa bali pelwe insambu isha kulondolola yalya amakambisho
lya kwa Yesu. That's when the Spirit came.
Emrandu ino mupashu wa ishile.
They perform what? They give instruction to perform baptism on those who believe in the name of
Jesus.
So today, should we listen to Jesus or listen to the apostle? We listen to both. They are one and the same. No contradiction.
Is it also?
So that form of doctrine is important. That form is not any form, but only one form. That's why we have been saying here, you know, when we talk about the doctrine, the teachings in the Bible, it's not something that just you piece them together, right? And this form of doctrine is delivered to you.
And
passed down from one generation to another.
Right?
You remember earlier on the first day we talked about even the law has a form, is it? Even the law as a form.
Ati na ifunde yari kwata kambisho.
So you find that whatever God gives to his people, it comes in a form, in a pattern, meaning it's very clear for people to follow.
Ati edio leisa lela nda atifisa nge shofi ne pako wacha vantu vengala ala kumfuisha.
Remember that verse?
Kushe, kutu mwayo kisha iyo vesi.
Romans chapter 2, is it?
Romans chapter 2.
Verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20.
Chapter 2, this number 20.
An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Form, you see?
Kafundisha waba ferwa amano, kasambilisha waba iche, pakukwata. Mumalango imonekele ya kuishiva ne ya vuchine eito.
Okay. So you find that whatever God has given to his people, it comes in a very clear and understandable form.
Akifisa ichonze chuesa pera wantu chisa munja ya kweba chifia kuata ukumfuikishua kuino duino.
And we know that this form is not given to change.
Ati na yumu vela tawapiro kweba chifu ina chingishua.
Now, today if the apostle had laid the foundation.
Acha pava abatumwa bapango mufula.
Oh, you come to the true Jesus Church, you know that the foundation has been laid.
Ero mwaisa kuchilonga nchapa isu wachishinka mamu na kwa tumufula wali pangwa.
Can we relay the another foundation?
Mushe kuti mwaisa pango mufula umbi.
No.
No, huh? Okay, we read the first Corinthians.
Tuvele nge. Korinto wakubadila form.
Chapter 3. Yeah.
Chapter number 3.
1 Corinthians chapter 3.
chapter 3, 1 Corinthians.
We read verse 11.
Reading verse 11.
For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Ati takuri umuntu wingapanga umufula umbe ukuchila pamufula oo uwapangwa uyo uli ni Yesu Kristu.
This foundation is Jesus Christ.
No, yumufula ni Yesu.
You know what I'm saying? It has been laid already.
Uwali pangwa kale.
Can we lay it again?
Kushekuti
wakwa. Who laid this foundation?
Nani wapangilio yumufula?
Can I ask who laid this foundation?
Kushekuti naipusha uwapangilio yumufula ni nani?
Jesus.
On verse 10 you say here, I have laid the foundation and another built on it. So it's apostle that laid the foundation.
Which verse 10? Who laid the foundation?
Romans, the same? First Corinthians chapter number 3.
Who laid the foundation?
3, this number 11.
Verse 10.
According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another built on it. But let each one take it how he builds on it.
What foundation is that?
To show you mufula. Mufula in shim.
Yes, no doubt the apostle laid the foundation. Eh? But broadly speaking, it is God who worked through the apostle, right? Now it has been laid already. Just like the early church, our church is like the message is proclaimed by the early workers, but that is the work of God.
Okay? So no one
should lay another foundation. Why do I say that? We look at the Old Testament scriptures. We turn to Isaiah chapter
28.
I think we read this verse before.
Isaiah chapter number 28, verse 16.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation.
Muzayoni ilibwe bantu mufula.
Who is this foundation?
Ni nani uyu mufula?
Jesus, yeah?
Jesus.
So according
yes.
to the scriptures, it's God who laid it.
Yes. Kati akulingana na malembo nile sayi ule pango
yu mufula. But through the apostle.
Bela kuwa tumwa mchipingo chipia.
Yeah, because God made use of the apostle to proclaim his truth. Ajinoso?
Bantu Yesu ule sa abo mfeshe abatumwa ukulanda imbila nsuma.
But the important point is this.
Lelo ichikomwe chikalamba ni.
Whatever we teach.
Chonse chintuwe chature funke.
Cannot be different from the teachings of the apostle.
Achitachifile chafu sana kuika kuma fundi kukusa mbilisha kwa abatumwa.
Is that okay?
Ushes. Filife wino.
So if I ask you, where is the foundation now? Where is the foundation?
Ushio mufula wenu. Uli kuisa.
Having read so many verses already, tell me where is the foundation?
Maya kuberenga amalembelo ayasha ifulila mshomufula wenu uli kuisa.
In Zion. In the church.
Chilonga nino.
Can you see now?
Start mona number.
Yes, Victor.
So the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, verse 20. says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So, here it says the foundation also is the apostles and the prophets.
Now, we know that when we talk about the foundation, we're talking about the foundation of the truth,
right?
Is that so?
Yeah?
Now, when we study the Old Testament scriptures, the prophet talks about who? Talks about Jesus Christ. Yeah? The main focus is on Jesus Christ. And the grace that would come. Now, when you look at Jesus, he also talks about this,
right?
Talks about his salvation. When you look at the apostle, were they not talking about the same thing? Did they not speak about the same thing?
There
is a common theme, isn't it? Jesus and his salvation. Now, what I want you to understand is this.
Eh?
Actually, the entire scriptures point to Christ. I want you to read Luke chapter 24.
Luke chapter 24.
We read verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalm concerning me." The law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalm are given in the what? Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. That's how they divide the Old Testament scriptures into three parts.
Ati, if he, if you fear quetio kwa kanishua, a manango, vaka sesema, elio, na malumbo, fiaya kanishua, mufi putuwa, fitatu.
But they contain, what they talk about concern Christ.
Lelo fiose fefia, babantu, fitatu, fiare, and apofia, lelo shakuti yesu.
When Christ was on earth,
Elo yesu adipachalo.
Obviously, he talks about his own work of salvation.
Adilandile inshila iya kwe iye pusukilo.
The apostle also talks about Christ. Actually, the main focus is Jesus. Yeah? I want to read Ephesians chapter 4. We read verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. There are two ways to look at this. Meaning, Jesus embodies all the truth. He embodies. The other thing is, only in Jesus then you can find the truth. If you are not in Jesus, meaning if you are not baptized into Christ, you cannot find the complete truth.
Return
to Colossians. Chapter 2. We read verse We read verse 2 and verse 3.
We
read verse 3.
Verse 3.
In whom, mean in Christ, yeah?
Yes.
Are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge.
Ati mudi ena mudi Christu emu afisamathie amanichi timkunkuta achamano elio no kuishiba.
Meaning, if you are not in Christ, you can never discover the all the treasure and whatever.
Ati nchile pranga tamudi mudi Yesu Christu te timuishiwe fifi bikiro fya kwa fya mudi Christu.
Only those who are baptized.
Ndiyabu febeka abawa chishuwa.
Now, coming back to the question,
no, kubwele la kui pusuku.
It seems that Ephesians talks about, chapter 2 talks about this foundation is made up of three different components, yeah? Old Testament, the prophet, Jesus, and the apostle.
Ati, tuayamu Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, uyumu fula wapangwa, pindwete tu, abadi abatumwa, pava Yesu Christu,
Now, just now we have mentioned all the verses.
Jesus
embodied all the truth,
isn't it?
And that's why Paul said the foundation is
Christ.
But he also further explained that there are actually three components.
But they all
point to Christ Jesus.
Now,
why is it that we said our teaching must be the same as the apostle?
Because
they have been given the wisdom to explain the word of the Old Testament and the word of Jesus very clearly for us to
see. Amashui ayo ayale mberwe.
Is that clear?
Yes.
You want me to repeat?
Mushemulepo ayamweke shempo.
Okay. I tell you what, because that time we are going to talk about one true church, yeah? When we come to the subject on the foundation of the church, we can explain a bit more.
Pamuna ndoka tresa muku tukalanda pari chilonga nino chimo pari fitwe nda kwefia mufula amu kutu twaisa kwa tokonkanya.
Oh, we shall explain it a bit more.
Kuti na kwa tokondola ko.